Tai Chi. The rest of the kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Ayo's house
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.
Isle's House, apparently we're a live stream show. Didn't know that 5 minutes ago, but here we are. We're live after the Islanders' victory against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN, Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy, Jack at Isle's Den. Follow the pod page at Isle's House. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. If you're watching on Twitter, head over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button. The QR code, I got the point wrong. There it is, QR code in the top right of your screen. Scan that. That'll take you to the store to support us. We've got merch. I'm rocking the Casa hat. Rocco's rocking the Casa hat. Jack is rocking the Isle's House hat until Jonathan Drouin scores a goal with his hockey stick. Nothing else, just his hockey stick. Check out the merch store. Buy a little bit if you want to support us. We are also sponsored by the Rust and Gold, the fine folks in Huntington. If you're looking for a great place to watch a game, be it Islanders or other sports, check them out. Great food, great drinks, and down below, patreon.com/Isle's House. If you want to support us for some extra content and access to our podcast Discord, including the Insiders channel, where we've been cooking. We've been cooking. Got a DM from our good friend this morning saying that a scoop Rocco passed along about a week ago was bang on. So we're in there. It's always a good time, especially on game days. Let's get rolling. Jackie recaps. Why don't you kick us off?
Well, It's been a long week because this schedule is so condensed. I can't believe how many games they've played. Let's just get it started. They had a back-to-back over the Hartford Rangers or whatever the hell they're called. Two wins in a row.
The Wolfpack, Jack.
Wolfpack, yeah. They beat the Wolfpack, and then they looked like the Wolfpack against the Nashville Predators. And I won't go that far against the Washington Capitals, but, you know, when you don't have heroic goaltending and a few things go wrong, there's just a lot this team has to overcome. We saw them overcome it tonight against the Penguins. My biggest takeaway leaving that game, sadly, well, two, was what a Barzal game. And the Penguins are not like a fluke. That is a good team. And it felt like we were on the right side of, once again, like it might as well have been Jari and Net, right? Five goals on, 22 shots, but we'll take it. Another win. But really just a roller coaster week, and I think we're all ready for the last game in Jersey Thursday to go off for break.
Rocco.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just talking about tonight's game, I thought they played kind of terrible for the most part outside of, like, three or four players. Like, Schaefer had his moments. Barzal played great, as you said. Horvat had the goal at the end. If, you know, you just find a way. It's the National Hockey League. You get 2 points. You got to be happy with it. But Skinner came back down to earth tonight. Hey, I mean, Jesus. That Pillar goal, I don't even know how that went in. It literally went through him, it seemed like. But
I mean, Skinner and Jari is like the Spider-Man pointing at each other.
Spider-Man meme.
Yeah. I mean, the visual meme. Tristan Jari, Stuart Skinner, Spider-Man pointing at each other. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Jack is going to be probably less critical of this team than me. I mean, my stance on them now is still what it was a month ago when we were asked this question on a podcast about whether or not we think the Islanders are good. Like, no, I think they're a shitty team. But they're able to win.
Do you feel they're top heavy? Because someone said that to me today, and
no, I don't think they have anything to be heavy about at the top.
I think probably the top's overly heavy, but I think when you look at, like, so many passengers as of late, like, you go through the roster of guys.
Well, that's the problem. I feel like we're going to talk about the power play at some point throughout the course of this episode, but the Islanders do not have any individual, like, except for Bo Horvat, I guess. I mean, he had the overtime winner tonight, but, like, you can go up and down some of these playoff teams' lineups and be like, Goal scorer. That guy's going to get 30. That guy's going to get 30. That guy's going to get 35.
There was one more takeaway from tonight. We gave a lot of credit to Barzal, but that was the first time in his Islanders career that Simon Holmstrom was put on the first line. and he was not one of the passengers. He was fully a huge part in setting up that game tying goal. And I mean, I would just keep him there because we all know Palat shouldn't be there. And this Juan Duclair marriage, I mean, we're going to have to talk about that at some point too. I think it's probably coming to an end.
We think he got benched, correct? We don't think
he was sitting there.
He did. He did get benched. He sat there the entire
game. You have situations where a guy's on the bench for long periods and you find out after the game he pulled something or whatever else. But yeah, I assume he just was glued to the bench. And I know you tweeted something, Jack. I think he has the most goals on the team since January 1.
Yep.
But you got to, like, the one thing with that, take away the Devils game. And what is it really? Like, that one.
We're just taking games away now?
No, but I mean the 9-0 rout of the New Jersey Devils where he's putting up the three he had, right?
I'm going to check.
Yeah, he got scratched and he had the three goals in that game. Couple goals. He just got hot for that one stretch. He definitely had a couple nice goals on passes from Richie. I feel like I remember two or three. But I don't know, man. I don't know what it is.
So Dom's in the chat. He says that Waz said he didn't like Duke's defensive details, which, again, like this, I think this goes back to, was it the first goal or the second goal where, like, I think it was just a bad visual.
Which goal was?
Like Duclair's kind of gliding, and I think it was Pulock that was out of position.
I'm trying to think of the play.
Like, it was being well discussed in the Discord, and I just forget if it was, I mean, someone in the chat can help us out, if it was the first goal or the second goal. But it wasn't Duke's man.
It was, yeah, I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything that.
And, like, that is a theme with this Islanders team, covering the slot, where you see there's just zero communication between the center and the defenseman, and somehow all three wind up. All right, someone in the chat, Ian, just said that it was the first goal.
I want to watch the highlight of that because I don't remember that specifically. I
thought that goal was on D'Angelo, not covering.
It was on D'Angelo, yes. Like, why Anthony Duclair is expected to be that far down low when you have two defensemen. I actually think it was Tony behind the net, Pulock tracking poorly, and whoever the center was on that play was, like, also behind the net. Again, I didn't think that was on Duclair, and it wound up with him getting benched. So,
did he not play at all after that?
Not at all. Not once.
Not at all.
No, not one that's time.
That's, to me, that's a little harsh. I mean, yeah, I little hater, but that's kind of crazy. And it's not exactly a player. Every player you expect to have detail in their game and do the right thing, but a guy like Duclair, that's more offensive flair, speed in his game, like. You're going to really punish him every time something like that happens? I don't know.
Patrick Waugh will.
Patrick Waugh does. I'm just saying. It doesn't seem fair. And I'm not a Waugh hater. It just doesn't seem fair to Duke. Really doesn't. I mean, one play? Just one play? He's going to – unless there was a couple things that happened and then that was the final straw. But I think we've seen it happen with – didn't Barzal get benched for a little bit one game because a similar –
Yeah, benched for like the entire third, basically.
The entire third period.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just – I think he likes to make points, but I think we're at the point now in the season where we got to look into trying to win more than making some points. I mean,
yes.
Talk to him after the game, talk to him at the next practice, whatever, but benching guys for full games is – I don't love that.
Anyway, I think this all started with me pointing out that the Islanders just don't have a reliable goal scorer outside of Bo Horvat.
No, they don't. That's been their problem. And you look at – as you said before with the – you look at other – someone posted today as the Panarin rumors were swirling, like, imagine Tampa Bay gets him and their top four wingers are Cooch, Gensel, Hagel, and Panarin.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, you look at our forward group, it's like, oh, okay, maybe we're not on the same level as these guys.
No, we're not.
We know we're again, not. Like how they can continue to add, and we're still trying to find pieces and adding Andre Palat.
Yeah. This is from Joe in the chat. It's interesting. Wonder if a move could be coming before the roster freeze. Too many forwards maybe helps Duclair waive his no trade clause. I don't know. I think that's maybe more of a big brain take, but
does he have what's his protection?
I want to say it's modified, but I'm not entirely sure.
I mean, I don't think it's about Duclair waiving as much as who's going to take him. He's got two more years left.
Yes. Two and change. Stamkos swap.
Yeah, okay.
Same term.
Trades one for one.
Yeah, we can wish. All right, should we talk about the goaltending while I look up Anthony Duclair's contract?
Yeah, go ahead. Why not? Riddick seems to have the magic carpet ride seems to have come to a little bit of an end, and I don't even think he's been that bad.
He's got a full no trade this year, God. And then 16 team for the last 2 years.
Ugh. I could see him waving it though.
Jack, by the way, you said that about Riddick, but that Beauvillier goal was disgusting.
Yeah,
that can't happen. Like that one was really bad.
Okay, I thought you meant disgusting and like it was a nasty play by Beauvillier. Personally,
I was disgusted to watch it happen, and then I have Greeny in the chat. Oh, Beauvillier.
Oh my God. Ugh. You know, I do not like Beauvillier. I felt like he was like so disappointing after that playoff run, and seeing him score on us really pissed me off. And one thing on Riddick, just watch for it in the next games. Our friend Phil pointed this out to me in the preseason. He's like, watch the wraparounds. This guy is atrocious on them. And he was so slow getting over to that post. And it's been all year. I've been waiting for it to happen. But, yeah, it was ugly.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, right? Like, the goalie just loses his tracking and guy gets a wraparound. But, like, it wasn't even, like, a slick play by Bo. I feel it was, like, it was telegraphed and then he, like, stuffed it home somehow. It was like a weird wraparound. It wasn't a clean. It wasn't like the Barzell make the goalie get out of position and come around the back end and put it in. It was like just kind of sloppy, and then Beauvillier tucked it in somehow. It was just really bad. And what did it happen? 30 seconds after the other goal. So
yeah,
just bad all around.
It's just crazy.
Not really stressed. Like,
also, watching Sorokin tonight, he gave up 4 goals on 35 shots. Obviously, that one to Rust, he wants back, but it's like, it's really crazy. Like, we can't even get on this guy, honestly. Like, that fourth goal the Penguins scored, this guy's all alone in the slot to redirect it. Like, a quick shot from the point. Like, what is he supposed to do?
Where was also Soucy? He did not have a good game tonight.
We can get to them. Both Pilato and Soucy. Them,
you said that was such disgust, Jack. We'll get to them.
We'll get to them.
Ilya Sorokin is still -135 to win the Vezina.
He should be. Yeah.
No, he should be like -300.
Or more, you're saying.
Yeah, okay. Fair.
Yeah,
it's a joke. It took him like more than half the season to even become a minus money favorite.
I thought you meant the opposite direction.
No, there's literally no one else.
Yeah, I can't even think of.
Like Vasilevsky, if he finishes insane.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. I think the one thing that's tricky is I think it's been like a while since a goalie – has won the Vezina without making the playoffs. I still kind of expect us to make the playoffs, but I think Sorokin's been so good, even if they fall out, he should still win.
Yeah. So I agree.
Ethan, before when you were saying like they find ways to win, but like I think this is a shit team, a big like I like try to look for some things that like are a big like indicator of luck. Like obviously Sorokin having an insane season is part of it. Like that's an outlier. You know what else is pretty crazy that no one talks about? Every 3-on-3 game, every overtime 3-on-3 game that has ended in 3-on-3, they are undefeated in that. Like, that is a crazy statistical enigma, I think.
Agreed. And it's not even a small sample size anymore.
I think a lot of that's the Schaefer effect, too, right? Like, we were dying for that sort of guy on the back end that just can carry the puck, get back. It was such an odd goal today, too. Like, it was just a sloppy play. I think Pittsburgh kind of gave it away, and then Bo ended up on a breakaway.
Schaefer actually broke it up. I noticed it after because I saw he got an assist on that play, and I'm like, oh, that's amazing.
Him and Barzell are playing slip and slide over there. They were like reversing and falling over each other, and
it was ugly.
Maybe it was tactical.
Yeah. Wow. Schaefer's -1,000 to win the Calder. Yeah, he's quietly kind of been on a tear recently. I mean, the goals aren't quiet, but the assists are piling up too.
I think he's one goal away from tying the 18-year-old defenseman record too, right?
I believe so. I believe it's 17.
It's Housley's record?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Virgil, do me a favor. Don't send this to me. Send this to the city of Montreal.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. Shambles. Demigod.
Yeah. I honestly sent out that tweet comparing Schaefer and Hudson earlier, expecting like full bait, like chum in the water type shit. Nothing.
Oh, you need. I didn't see that. We need that to get up there.
They've given up. Hold on. How do I? Can I share? I don't want to like share my whole screen, but can I?
Why? What's going on?
Not have like 15,000 tabs open, and I think it'll literally break my laptop in the stream.
Little sus, but.
Bro, I'm on my work computer. Trust me, the sus stuff is not on here. Okay.
But it's not even about inverse lane. It's more. I mean, is Demidov still second in Calder?
I don't even know. Someone look up the odds.
I'll look it up real quick.
I know Seneca was making moves too, and then I think Wallstedt kind of fell off.
There it is.
Awards. Okay. So Demidov is second at +850, and Seneca is +950. Those are the three real favorites. But there's one that's Matthew Schaefer versus the field, and the field's +560.
Wow. I remember Demidov was a huge favorite in the preseason. Obviously, no one knew how good Schaefer would be.
I mean, he would have been my pick.
Who would have been? He was your pick.
He
I
was.
I think Demidov. Jack and I took Schaefer, and you took Demidov, which was fair, but maybe Jack and I know a little more puck than you.
And even
I mean, listen, it's fine. When we go back and we do our little recap of the season predictions, like, yeah, no one's perfect. I got to have at least one L on my record. So
I think we all might have went too high on Shabanov too, if we go back.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yeah. We knew it was boom or bust, though.
Yeah,
we did.
In terms of the Norris Trophy, like, obviously he has no chance. Schaefer doesn't really have a chance to win that. But there's only, like, 20 players listed now. And Matthew Schaefer is one of them.
How high?
Yeah.
Can I guess what his odds are?
Yeah, he's the last guy on the list.
He's +4,500.
You're thousands. We're in like he's +50,000.
Oh wow! Okay.
Wow.
I was way off.
Yeah, I think Werenski has a good chance to win it. Actually,
Makar's number one.
I think Werenski, they're both minus Makar and Werenski, actually, which is kind of a scam by FanDuel. Not cool.
Yeah.
All these books are scams.
They are.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Well, it's just time to go on to the next topic. We were talking about the goaltending a little bit, but I think it's time to talk about our buys.
Our new additions.
Well, let's just get Susie out of the way, since I feel like that'll be an easy conversation.
Not great. Not great. And we had our pal Marty telling me to get a grip. He's just the bottom pair defenseman. But when you're trying to make the playoffs, every guy matters, right? Like, if that bottom pair defenseman makes the big mistake, it's a backbreaker. And I thought he honestly lucked out tonight that we came back and found a way to win, because he made a couple mistakes on that same play and then left his man alone in front for the free deflection that – Sorokin has no chance on. So, I mean, jury's still out on him. It's tough.
It is not. the jury is very much in with a verdict.
The one thing, coming to a new team, just try to give him a little bit of slack here. But, yeah, it hasn't been pretty. But it's also like, why? Like, I guess they kind of have to, but him and Mayfield? What's with that?
Let me ask you this, guys.
They put Scott Mayfield in a clone machine and said, but make it lefty.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's the problem. Who does Mayfield succeed with historically? When he's giving you good minutes, he's playing with puck movers, players that can skate.
Yes, he needs Schaefer or Tony.
But you can't take – the thing is, you can't – Tony's been good with Pelech. You can't really
– I get it, but you got to find some – like, yeah. Again, and this is going to get some of the people going, like, where's Marshall Warren? Where's Isaiah George?
I'm not going to lie to you guys. George is better for this team right now than Susie is. Susie can't skate. Like, he can't get the puck out of the zone. Like, he can't move the puck. Like, he's a complete zero offensively, and he's not in a situation where he can play his game defensively, because he is his clone, as Ethan said, next to him.
I'll tell you what, the Blue Shirts Breakaway Discord refers to him as Saddam Susie.
Jesus.
So.
Yep. And I guess on that note, we could get to Palat.
Okay.
I think he's been not great, but I mean, okay. He's made some plays. He's had his moments. He did have an assist to Schaefer tonight, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and he had a nice goal in the first game against the Wolfpack. So that was a nice warm up.
Yes, with Palat, I actually don't mind Palat. I'm not the same energy I have with Soucy.
I mind the price tag and the cap hit, but that's a different story. But judging on ice, yeah, I think it's okay, right?
Welcome back, Uncle Leo.
Well, it's not okay when he's playing first line minutes, which we would have lost the game tonight if Watt didn't switch him with Simon Holmstrom, because Duclair was gone. So Palat can't play with Barzal and Horvat. It's just not going to work. He needs to play in a role that's tailored for his game. Like, I don't know why he needs to. He was on the power play one, and with 6 minutes left, they had the most uninspiring power play to try to tie the game. And the pass goes down to him, and he fumbles it. He doesn't make the right play, and they clear. And it's like, this guy is not supposed to be out here right now. And it's just like coaching. Like, he's going to need to change that. There's nothing really he can do with Soucy. That's more on Darsh. Like, he probably should have acquired somebody that can move the puck better or skate, like one of those two. But with Palat, it's about where you're putting him in the lineup. Like, I think he's an effective player in the bottom six, but trying to force him into like a top line role right now, it's not going to be pretty. And we saw it last night.
I think they were looking for a chem fit to get him going just a little bit, but yeah, he's too slow for that combo, Horvat and Barzal. I actually think they should give Duclair that try again. That was like the beginning of last season.
Yes.
Before Duclair went down. That was a big time experiment we were all looking forward to. And I think we might have given it a little bit of run at times this season, but never like a fair chance.
Never, no. And I think it would work. But I will say, I know Horvat scored twice tonight, which was huge, but I still don't think he's playing that great. I think Barzal is really...
I don't know if he's 100%.
I don't know.
At least from what I see, it doesn't seem it.
I will say he engaged
they're
more.
They're going to send him over to Italy and have rub some olive oil on it, Rocco.
Well, then he'll be healed.
Exactly.
He was more engaged physically tonight than I've seen him since he's been back, but I don't think he's played great, but he did what he had to do. At least he got to a dirty area and scored tonight, but I think he knew he had to take it to another level because this team just can't survive without him. It's pretty crazy. They are so dependent on Horvat and Barzal. It's insane.
Was it me or did he try to drop the gloves when Schaefer almost got ran today? Did you guys see that? Like along the benches, the guy, he tried to take a run at Schaefer and missed, and Horvat went right after them. They were like jousting near the bench. I think Horvat was trying to fight him.
I might have missed that.
I think the third period.
Yeah, it was. I forget exactly when, but they didn't even really show it on the TV.
No, because it was out of the play. The puck was in the zone.
Quick shout out, by the way. The Islanders would have been absolutely done in the third period on that high sticking call on Anders Lee, and the refs actually huddled up and they got it right. And they never get credit for getting it right, but like, dude,
they got a lot wrong tonight, but
that was huge.
A few shady no calls.
Yeah, but who wants to see I don't even care with our the way our power play looks. I seriously don't care. I just hope we don't take penalties.
All right.
It's that bad.
It is pretty bad. It's a tough watch. What do you guys think of Drew Ann at center? I think that's kind of an interesting experiment they're trying here.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it, and it might make someone else a little more expendable.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all, actually. When you put it like that, yeah.
And let's be honest. I think they miss Richie a little bit. Like, we missed a little bit of that flair. And the power – he was, like
– excellent.
Breath of fresh air on that power play too.
Yeah,
those little quick passes he makes, world of difference.
Tonight, Anders Lee is going to get credit for an assist on a play Barzal made. He made the entire play. Like, Drouin's like the headline of this team not scoring because it's partially my fault. You know, like, we're at 87 days without a goal, 81 without a hockey stick. We all know, but Anders Lee is just. He's not producing at all, and he also doesn't look very good. He looks a step slow. It has not been pretty, and I'm scared of this extension, man. I am.
Oh, so you're just assuming that there's an extension.
Well, you think Darsh is going to trade him? You're out of your mind.
Well, I don't know if he's going to trade him. Doesn't mean he's got to extend him.
There's no way that guy's not on our team next year. I just feel like he would take the discount but he will have higher offers elsewhere because Darsh has the front and center seat for it.
I don't know if he will.
Can I, honest opinion from you both. I'm not saying we will, but if we were to trade both Lee and Pageau, could we still make the playoffs? In my opinion, I think we very
yes.
much
will. Yes.
Like, I don't think they're difference makers right now. Even Pageau, like.
Pageau more than
Lee. Other than nearly killing Sidney Crosby. Did he do that much today?
No, Pageau was atrocious tonight.
He hasn't been good.
Dom posted it. The Isles were outshot 17-2 in Pageau's 5v5 minutes tonight.
And that's supposed to be his bread and butter, too.
Yeah.
With Lee, like, the thing is, he knows where to at least be on the ice. And if you're going to trade him, that means you're putting Shabanov out there. And here's the thing with Shabanov. He does have upside offensively, but, like, he has no idea what he's doing in his own zone. And it's the same thing we saw with Siplikov, just out of position, lackadaisical with the puck at times, just, like, thinking he's got all this time in the world, stop moving the feet, and it's just a disaster. So, like, things like that could things like that can derail them if they do trade him. But it's been really ugly. And it's like the whole fan base is like afraid to say it, but I've just been watching it for so long this year. Like it has gone south for him.
Yeah, it has. I mean,
got to bring Adam Oates onto the staff.
There's no more Oates magic, man. It's done.
You know, Father Time's undefeated. Maybe he's just here.
It's washed. Beyond washed. It's unwatchable.
It has arrived. Yeah.
All right. Should the Islanders be making the deal before the deadline?
No,
not right now.
Wait it out. Wait it out a little bit.
Remember what we said last show? I don't know if we want no more. Get out of the kitchen, bro. Like we're okay for now. No more cooking. Like I'll order something in. Like
relax.
Yeah.
who else? Any other teams we hate that Darsh has to bend over for yet or no?
I don't think so.
Or is that his initiation? His initiation was getting taken by Drury and Fitzgerald in the span of a week.
Things are not good in New Jersey. They didn't score a goal tonight, and they haven't won a game, I think, since that trade.
Should they even buy at this point?
No.
They're supposedly going to, because Fitz and Keith are trying to keep their jobs over there.
Well, yeah, should and will. Very different.
No, yeah. But
– yeah.
Never a position you want to be in when you shouldn't be buying and you are.
No. I'd be terrified if I was a Devils fan right now.
And I mean, you got Jack Hughes making stupid comments.
What did he say? No.
They asked him like, oh, some of the fans, something about the fans and like, how does he feel about the fans' frustrations with the team? And he was like, I have nothing to say to them. It's like, dude, it's not.
Yeah,
it's a current future Minnesota Wild player right there. That's what that sounds like.
You gotta fake it a little better, at least. Like, feel that way a little bit, but you gotta still be somewhat professional.
Siplikov, by the way,
Jack's always had a little bit of that. Like,
yeah, he has.
I hate that guy.
I don't say immaturity, but a little bit, right? Like a snarkiness, almost like
real snarky.
Yeah. He talks like he's McDavid or McKinnon. Like you're not.
Oh, look at me! I'm dating Tate McRae. Ooh, look at me! Yeah. Shut up, bro.
Yeah, he's. I don't know. He's always hurt. Like he's got a lot to prove still. But speaking of that trade, Maxim Siplikov in three games as a Devil has had three games. He's taken no penalties. He's averaging 8 minutes a game. He's got one shot and he's minus one. I mean, this is like that, that NBA player with that stat board of
Tony Snell stat line.
Yeah. Tony Siplikov. It's looking like over in New Jersey. It's not been pretty for them either. And I don't know what they're going to do come the deadline. That's a curious team to me. Like, do they?
You know what? I'm putting out a request because I know Chubbs is in the chat right now. Go put Maxim Siplikov's face on the Tony Snell meme.
Yes.
It's your homework for the Dirty Sauce channel.
Before we're done.
Yeah.
Barry Teabags. Devils would have scored if they didn't bench Siplikov. Yeah, it's a bad read by me, I think. He's coming to the KHL.
Yeah, I could see that. He has one more year left in the NHL, though.
He does. Another year on the contract, so. I forgot about that. Good for his agent. He gets a raise.
Yeah, well, there's two types of deals.
Yeah.
Fire your agent or give your agent a raise. Give his agent a raise.
Yeah, Siplikov's agent is he's living nicely, but I think we should get to some questions.
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right. All day this channel's been popping off. I haven't looked once, but we're going to start with T. Isaac 39. How much does this team miss Cal Ritchie? It seems like he is way more important than we thought.
A lot.
Tons. Legitimately the only bright spot on the power play, maybe the entire year.
You know what it is with Ritchie, too? I'm not discounting Barzal, Sorokin, Horvat as core pieces of this team. But as we look forward into the future, like, you need guys close to Schaefer's age to become core guys. And I really feel like we've got one with him. Like, I think he's going to be a really solid 2C.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah.
And honestly, win-win trade. Brock's been great over there since Ethan tried to shit on him.
Yeah.
Next question is from Dan Schaaf. Thoughts on Brock Besser as a trade target?
No.
Doesn't fit the timeline.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no, just because the contract is too long. I don't think he answers enough of the problems. I don't think he's, like, enough of a goal scorer. Like, if you're going to go that route, I'd rather just get Jordan Kyrou. Dom, how badly would Lee and Pageau extension set clog this forward group when we already have three underwhelming veteran forwards under contract next season in Drouin, Duclair, and Palat? I only laugh because this dude sounds furious when he's right when he's typing that
yes,
shit.
Yes.
I honestly agree with Dom. Like, it, I was watching the Bridgeport game this weekend, and there's a lot of players that are, like, really performing well, and they've been on
Jack.
A tear.
Yeah, there's no
go make some
show guys there.
Go make some friends. Like, I don't want you spending, like, you're young. I don't want you spending your weekends watching the Bridgeport.
I appreciate him being a fanatic, but, like, you're trying to tell me Alex Jeffries is going to replace Anders.
It's not the first game that you've watched of them.
Maybe, like, the second or third. I've not watched an entire game like I watched the other day.
All right, so go back to Dom's question. Yes, it would be a huge issue, and you cannot extend both players.
I don't think you could extend either.
I don't think you should extend either, but if you extend both, that's brutal.
Bad
business. Isles/Mets 94. Odds of us making a move are -5%, right?
Pre-Olympic break, I would say, yeah. Overall, yeah. I'd say no.
Dude, they're making a move.
I think they're going to make a move of some kind.
They are making a move.
Next question from Robert. Given the recent game results, Hartford Wolfpack back-to-back excluded, would you look to keep and add assets for draft day rather than rush to make a deadline addition?
Yes.
Yes.
I'd be still focused on the now, just with an eye towards the future. Like, if the right deal comes along and you're maybe dropping a guy off this roster because you're getting a high value pick, I would do it. I don't think, outside of the main guys, I don't think any guy getting dealt out is going to stop them from making the playoffs. So if the right deal comes along for a Pageau or Duclair, I would be all over it still.
Next question from Stephen B9. Current prediction for how the top three in the Metro plays out. It's tough.
Is it crazy to, like, I don't know why. Maybe it's because we're such a bad matchup. Well, they're a bad matchup for us, rather. But, like, I still feel like the Caps are going to make it somehow. I think they're the best team on paper after the Canes. Like, you still got OV. You got some nice young players. You got Jacob Chychrun scoring like 30 goals as his defenseman. I don't know, man. Like, they're a couple points out still. The Blue Jackets are hot. Do you think it's going to be that? Like, do you think Canes, Penguins, Islanders, or do you guys think someone else sneaks in?
So the Islanders actually have a chance at a wild card spot because they're currently 1 point behind the Boston Bruins, who I think are probably the most likely out of any playoff team to kind of fall off a little bit. So I still think
Florida's still out, Jack. Aren't they still on the outside looking in?
They're done, though. They're done. They're too injured, and they are losing. They're losing in just like every way possible. Like all five of their centers from their cup run last year are all on IR.
Wow. They're 9 points behind the Bruins. I didn't realize they fell off that much.
No, they're done. Like the Maple Leafs, the Senators, like they're not done yet. The Senators, like it's just going to be the condensed schedule just makes this stuff so crazy. I do think it right now that getting separation early on was important because like you can like it's just going to take like a really big collapse for all these teams to catch up to the Islanders. So I think I'll go with the three that are there right now. I think the Penguins stay there, and I think the Islanders just find a way because they just have all season.
Yeah. I mean, if we go like a game or two above 500, we're in the mid-90s. So I think that's just about good enough to make it in the Metro, right?
Could be if Columbus calms down.
Yeah, unless someone gets red hot. But
six in a row. Between
the Penguins and the Islanders, I don't think either of them are going to necessarily run away with it. It's obviously the Canes are one. That's a given.
Let's be real though. Like the Islanders are really lucky because the Capitals tonight, after beating the Islanders last night, had to travel to Philadelphia with that third string goalie again and try to beat the Flyers, who had an off day the night before. Like so much is lining up in their favor, and they get to be positioned where they were 24 hours ago before that Capitals game. It's just pretty crazy to think about. Like, That game for Washington was so big last night, and it just erased. Like, that's
– yeah. Next crazy. Day. All right, so let's answer the question properly. Let's each give our top three in the Metro, how we think it finishes. Jack, go ahead.
Carolina, Pittsburgh, Islanders.
Ethan, you're muted.
I agree with Jack.
I agree, too. I want to put the Caps in there, but I'm looking at the standings. I don't know. I just – I feel like there's enough of a gap that we should make it.
Yeah.
So I'll say as is.
Josh Elkin, vibe check. It's March 6th, 3:01 p.m. Eastern. Is Pajot still an Islander? Yes.
Ethan?
No.
No.
All right.
And one thing's for sure as far as the vibe check, the Discord will be fucking nuts that day.
We have a follow-up to this from Kevin. To build off of this, if Pajot continues to play as well as he has the last few games, that didn't continue tonight, do you think there's a chance he can net us a first plus a prospect or only draft picks?
No.
I think max value at this point would probably be a first, and I think when you go through the list of – yeah, the Discord is already nuts, but that's just going to be another level that day. But when you go through the list of available centers, Pajot's like maybe number four now, so – you know, if you could hope maybe the Rangers hold on to Trocheck, which I'm not sure they will, then you got like a Ryan O'Reilly out there. You got Braden Schenn out there. He's not going to be most teams' first or second option. But depending on who gets dealt, I mean, maybe first, maybe a second and a prospect. To be honest, maybe I'm a doomer when it comes to Pajot, but even if it's a second and a prospect, I would do it. I think you got to – like it's just asset management at this point. We have a bunch of centers. You're playing Drouin at center. I think the whole thing in the preseason and the early season was let Richie develop, see if he could take on the role. I think he's been adequate in that role. So hold up to your end of the bargain. I know they weren't expecting to be in a playoff spot like they are now, so it makes it a little bit more difficult, but I would move. I don't know why. I kind of think Darche will, and I think we constantly hold on to the the Lou version of things where, oh, he's not going to move anyone. He's going to do this, but this is a completely different guy. You could say what you want about the couple moves he's made in the last week or so, but I just don't see him operating like Lou did the last couple deadlines. And I think
Pajot is definitely on the table.
Yeah, I think Pajot is very much on the table. A good bit more than Lee. I think Lee's more of, they're going to do the respect thing. He's the captain.
Lee's got no value.
Lee wouldn't get a ton anyway. So, like, I get it. Like, if Lee's going to only get you, like, a third, or something like that, I understand maybe just holding on to him. But even if Pajot doesn't get a first, I think the value there will be worth it, especially when you have his replacement in-house already.
Okay. Jeff T. With the frustrations building in Philly, is it possible we could see Travis Konecny quietly dealt? He would be a guy that would fit perfectly with this team. His contract is good. He's cousins with Bo Horvat, so he'd fit right in with team. I don't see the Flyers moving him, though. I've been really paying attention to them, and it's because I find the whole Michkov situation really interesting. They love Konecny, and he is pretty much their captain. Couturier has been a mess for like a few months now, and they really depend on him. I don't see them moving him.
I don't see them moving him either. I like the player, but even so, is he the right move for us right now? I don't know. I like him.
So they're going to get rid of Michkov.
You think so?
Not in season.
Not in season, no. I'm just in general.
I think they're going to get rid of Tocchet before Michkov.
I don't know, Jack.
I don't know, Jim.
Some people might know stuff that I don't. But
we need to edit the Tony Romo. I don't know, Jim.
Some people should pay attention to the Discord. How about that, Jack?
Tocchet would. Yeah, you're right. But like, if I was a Flyers fan right now, Tocchet.
Did you even post that one, Rocco?
I posted that one. Yeah.
If I was in the regular Insiders channel.
Yeah, I didn't post it in the Insiders only. Sorry, Jack. What'd you say?
If I was a Flyers fan, I would want Tocchet fired.
Read the Discord. Read the Discord.
Okay. Oh, I can't wait now. I can't wait.
Well, you didn't have to wait. It was about 12 hours ago, but
I'm forwarded. I DM'd it to you, Jack, so you can read it.
It's a long read, though. I ain't reading all that.
If you guys think I'm multitasking this with the questions, you don't
know. No. I'm not that stupid.
Never expected that. But
so domed. If the team were to sell, are there any prospects who have impressed you this year that you'd like to target? Would still love to add Higgins or Wright.
Higgins isn't happening.
Not happening. He's been really good this year, right?
It's been solid. Nothing crazy. I actually said to someone today that was in the shop, I think if the Islanders knew Eklund and Aitchison would fall, I'm not even sure that deal would be on the table, to be honest. Because I don't think – like, I don't think Higgins is a tier above Eklund, per se. I think they could very well end up in the same tier as far as impact player. But, Higgins I don't see happening. And Shane Wright, I think Shane Wright's more the type of guy they use to, like, go get someone better. You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to be like, oh, we'll give you Shane Wright, give us a second-round pick. I think Shane Wright might get thrown in the deal for Seattle trying to take a big swing.
Lambert knows Pageau pretty well.
I would walk Pageot.
No, that's not Siplikov, though.
Tony Soucy.
Oh, man. All right. We are at another question, as we appreciate the Tony Soucy meme. Mark D.
Chubbs.
Do you think that the Islanders would be able to meet the ask that the Blues have for Robert Thomas? What would that offer look like, and would you go through with it?
No. They don't have – unless you want to do Richie plus, just get the conversation going.
Yeah, you see, that's more of the move for if we were Robert Thomas away from winning a Stanley Cup, which I can't get there. I'd love to get there, but I can't. If there was a way to get Thomas where you can give them draft capital and not touch Richie or
– there's not.
Like, yeah, if there's not, then that just sucks.
Again, Discord. There's a big note on Robert Thomas in the Discord and who was on the table for him.
So. Okay. I got some catching up to do. You guys know I've been busy, though.
Yeah, we do.
The Bry Man. Are you guys okay with sending Holmstrom a first and Aitchison for EP40 or Robert Thomas? Well, first of all, big difference between these two players. One of them is a risk. The other one, you know what you're getting. I wouldn't do it for Elias Pettersson.
Neither would I. For Thomas, I would do it in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Let's be real here. You have to do that. Yeah, 100%.
And it's nothing that's totally different ends. Like, I think it's a big overpay for EP, and I don't think it even – gets a conversation going for Robert Thomas.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, we love Holmstrom, but he's not.
Robert Thomas. Like, he would be our best forward.
Yeah. Two. Oh boy, I'm ready for this one. Why all the hate for Soucy lately? I think he's a solid third pair and definitely better than Mayfield. Wrong. I understand some want George, but he hasn't proven to be able to stay healthy and dependable. Please discuss. Can I just run with this for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
The problem is, Bryman, like, if Soucy was playing with George, he would be fine. But him and Mayfield are clones of each other. So what we saw tonight were two guys that don't move great. Mayfield probably moves better than him.
Honestly, he does.
Yeah, he does. And, like, Soucy also has – Soucy is honestly, I think, a worse version of Scott Mayfield. And he's a lefty, which makes it a little more maddening because we always talk about how hard it is to find right shot defensemen, but left shots that can skate and have like a little bit of puck moving ability are way easier to find. And the thing is, George actually complements Mayfield's game like night and day better than Soucy does. I mean, George last game, he recorded a point. Like this team doesn't send players down or scratch them after getting points. This isn't expected by whom's coach. Like, I was shocked that they sent him down right away. Honestly, this one burns, man, because I think George really was the answer here, and it could have opened up some like interesting discussions into next year with Romanov, and we just decided, nah, we're just going to give Carson Soucy this. And I would have been – I understand the buy, but at the same time, you could have – this is not a buy that I think is necessarily helping. In fact, I think it's going to really hurt them if it continues to be this pairing. And the other two pairings I like. Soucy is not good, and I'm not going to pretend like he is. I'm going to be completely honest. It's been a disaster. He scored one goal because Jonathan Quick had a spaz attack. Like, that should have never been a goal, and if you erase that, it's been pretty damn ugly for him so far. I'm not a fan of this move. I wish he got somebody that could skate or move the puck.
Well said.
Nick Leddy.
Nick Leddy would have been better at this stage of his career than Soucy because he has that one skill.
Where is Nick Leddy? The AHL?
He's tearing it up.
Barracuda.
Barracuda?
With Ollie.
With Wallstrom. Him and Wallstrom are probably cooked over there. We got to check those
tiles down there.
Barry Teabags, this is a question for Jack. How has it been following the Isles on the West Coast? Is it tough with the time difference? Hoping you get a chance to move back to New York soon and we don't lose you to stinky LA. Thank you, Barry. Hope maybe be back in New York in 2 years. But the biggest adjustment has definitely been the game starts. I mean, literally, I was finishing up work. I try to work East Coast hours, and I was still working like right as the first period was starting yesterday. It's like you feel like your day is a lot more condensed. But on the bright side with like podcasting after and everything, it's only 8:30. So I feel bad for these guys that it's 11:30 at night. Try to be available as much as I can.
I'm like rushing it. I'm like reading books to my 3-year-old and it's like 7:05. I'm like, I got to go. Let's hurry up this book.
Yeah, so I got it the easiest. Scuds, who scores first?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. good call.
Almost got him too.
Go to Matt C. 72.
How has the bird changed your lives? Oh, the bird. I forgot about bird. That. That was absurd.
Pay the bird.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Well, that could be some like
these places.
Yeah,
you know the black cat, like the black cat Mets story. It could be one of those. Hopefully,
MetLife had a black cat too.
Yeah, but
we don't want anything involved with MetLife.
Yeah, thank God it wasn't a cat then. When is BK? When is Phil coming on the pod? When we want to lose viewership? I'm kidding. No, we should
clip it.
We should get him on.
Go to T-Boyle, our guy.
Thomas Boyle, do you see the Islanders making a trade before the freeze starts? I don't, because that would literally mean, like, within the next, 16 hours?
Yeah, I think it's midday tomorrow is the freeze.
Probably 3 p.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Noon your time, Jack, just to go over.
Yes, and Alupo, how excited are you guys for this break? Also, now over-under – 1.5 years till Wah is fired.
So that would be the end of next year?
Yeah.
Next season?
Over.
I don't think he's fired. I think – I don't know. Like, going into this year, we said our main thing wasn't exactly the standings, but more so how the young guys are going. And the core looks good. Schaefer looks good. Richie looks good. So I think it's the mediocre guys that are the passengers. And I don't know if blame Wah for all that. So I think he lasts a good bit longer.
If you look at his record with the Islanders, it's honestly pretty impressive. He's well over 500, and it's a wins and losses results business when it comes to coaches at the end of the day. Like, we can micro look at everything. So I think that nobody should be more fortunate. Nobody should be more grateful for Ilya Sorokin and Matthew Schaefer than Patrick Waugh, though, because they save his ass on a regular basis. Nick Costa, if Palmieri and Romanov magically healed and were 100%, who sits? Man, we miss Kyle Palmieri.
Susie and
I just wanted to see his reaction to that.
Susie and Shabanov.
Susie, McLean, Shabanov. I don't know. Palmieri would play over a lot of the forwards. Romanov would just be swapped for Susie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't expect either of them.
I got to be honest. We remember how bad it was back in November and October with Romanov, but Carson Soucy, he's got me missing my guy now, man.
Dude, Romanov at least, like, visions of him playing okay. I don't know. Obviously, he makes way more money, but.
James has a follow-up. How much is the pod drinking if Romanov returns to the lineup in the playoffs? We may lose Dom.
We'll get a keg for the CDV watch party.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Maybe
question.
We'll do an Olympic one. We might kick it off with an Olympic one.
Well, you better start planning, Bob.
Well, the front area is ready, so we might do a quick Olympic one. Get like 20 people or so could fit up there.
Might need a bigger boat.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. People say yes. People say no. We'll look at the numbers.
Those do be the RSVP options.
We have three more. Chris G, who scores more from here on out, Drouin or Siplikov?
You skipped one person, by the way.
Oh, I skipped the Ebs.
Let's do that one and we'll go back. Who scores? Drouin.
It's the thought of Drouin.
War of attrition.
It's Drouin. Come on. Siplikov. We're not doing Tony Siplikov today, all right?
We're not doing
Siplikov today.
Drouin has one game before he's pushing 100 days without a goal and more than 100 without his hockey stick, man.
Yeah, but he's winning.
This reminds me of like the Corey Schneider streak.
What was that?
He went like 2 full calendar years between wins or something like that.
Oh, well, he was hurt though.
Yeah, of course. But like he still had a few games in there.
Yeah, and then we brought him back in emergency mode and he won. Yeah. Then he went into the broadcast booth and then went to the broadcast booth in New Jersey.
Yep.
Now Jack's back to the one right before this.
The Ebs. How do they shake out the D pairs? Can't have Mayfield and Soucy out there together. And does Darche have another move up his sleeve before the 3 p.m. freeze tomorrow? We already have stated we don't think that's going to happen, but we could talk about the defensive pairs. What do you guys think?
I mean, what would you do in a move? You put Mayfield with, I mean, Schaefer, I would block for now, I guess, right?
Do you put
Schaefer back with Mayfield and give Pulock and Soucy a go? Would that work maybe? Or you put Tony with Soucy? That might be scary.
In theory, you're right. That should Soucy and Pulock should work, but it's yet to be seen if Pulock is kind of benefiting all off of Schaefer's back right now. And if he can.
He is.
Let's be honest. The whole team's a Schaefer merchant. Everyone on this roster is a Schaefer merchant.
Big goal from Pulock.
Everyone's lot.
But yeah, there's not much he can really do here because you need Pelech babysitting D'Angelo, and you kind of ironically need the 18-year-old babysitting Pulock. And Mayfield's the only one. Mayfield is usually the babysitter, but Soucy's 35 or whatever. It's really hard to think of a solution.
I think this is like the six they're obviously going to run the rest of the year, but this is something they really have to address in the offseason because we like Tony, but like when you look at the D-Core as a whole, I don't think you could simply keep Tony and run that D-back. I think you need to do something that improves
the draft. They need to be all over right-handed.
Whoever they draft is going to be 3-4 years away, at least.
At least.
We're getting too used to Schaefer, where these guys jump in and are just like thinking they're going to be good right away. Defensemen take time. I mean, Pulak, I don't think debuted for like three, four years after his draft.
I hate getting into these hypotheticals, but I just wish that in the NHL, trading up was like a real thing.
It is a real thing.
It just, you know, I wish that I would be down to trade a ton of assets to get really high in the draft and like take someone that could be really good now, not really good now, but that can play now and then develop into like a really good player. But the teams are so super protective of that, like top five, top eight.
Doesn't really have that.
Yeah.
There's no defenseman in the draft. I mean, I like Verhoeve, but I don't know if he's impact right away.
Yeah.
And if I'm trading up, sorry to interrupt you, but if I'm trading up as the Islanders in a draft, score forward, because you need a star forward to go with Schaefer eventually. I'm not trading up. I mean, I would trade up a little bit for a defenseman, but I'm not giving up like a godfather offer to go get a D-man in the draft. You have to trust your scouting and, you know, really hammer home drafting right-hand defenseman, but you got to find one. You can't force it.
You know what's like an interesting storyline to me too about the draft? Well, this will be my last comment on it, but so you know how in the NFL this year, like the Chiefs are picking like eighth or ninth? Mm-hmm. I was looking at the standings today and I noticed the Panthers are like a little bit lower than where the Islanders were last year. Can you imagine if they
don't have their pick?
They don't have it? Who has it?
Jones, Chicago.
Oh man, Seth Jones.
They have back to back Stanley Cups. How terrible.
Yeah, that's true. Like honestly, I would trade it for that.
And Jones
was a big part. So Joe 727. We constantly see the Isles give up goals where the guy in front is in miles of space. Happened a few times tonight, especially on the Brazo tip. Does that come down to system or just players being unaware of their surroundings? I put that on the players. These are veteran guys. Like, I have plenty of problems with Bois, but like, dude, there's a guy wide open in the slot. I don't give a shit what the system is. Pick him up. It's ridiculous.
Ethan, I'm just asking you because you're an elder like me. Don't you feel like the NHL as a whole, there's less protection of the crease? Like, you see these guys wide open much more often than you used to, I feel like.
Well, we watch Islanders hockey, Rocco.
We do, but in general, I watch games around the league too, and it's just they defend differently. It's just different. Even like when you're in the defensive zone, you see some of those like literally passing to each other right in front of the crease that would never happen.
Yes.
But yeah, now it's all about possession. Like, defense just works differently. So I think it's a mix. I think it's the players at times, and I think it's also the systems many teams are playing around the NHL nowadays.
Yeah.
All right. So we have one question to go. What followed that was a Ryan Pulak JFresh card, which is pretty funny to look 7%, at.
If anyone's wondering.
Who comes out when Richie can go? Patty loves the fourth line, although they were asked tonight by Dom. Who comes out? Let me look.
I'm trying to think who the third line was tonight.
The third line tonight was Emil Heinemann. No, it was messed up because it was Lee, Pageau, and whatever forward they were rotating for Duclair.
Honestly, once Richie can go, it was up to me. Trade JGP. But I think one of the fourth line guys could come out. I could see a McLean coming out. Weren't they running Richie at center and then throwing Pageau on the wing when he was in the lineup a good bit?
Yeah, that's a good shout. So maybe they do that. I don't mind Pageau and Cizikas out there together if they wanted to go that direction, but then who do you it just gets so complicated because there's so many goddamn forwards on this team.
We still somehow have. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's the final question for tonight.
Okay. Thanks, wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys soon.
Father West is Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around.
Ayo's house, in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house.